Hi, he's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. This is Hallis Intrigue, where Jason, the Bears got their man, and then they got their other man. We'll talk about what they did in round one and beyond, coming up on Hallis Intrigue.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
Jason, the worst-kept secret in the NFL became official on Thursday when the Bears took Caleb Williams first overall. They then added Rome Odunze, the Washington receiver, at number 9. And while, you know, they did a bunch of other stuff in the draft, to me, these are the only two things of tremendous import this week. First thoughts on Caleb is we've gotten to know him over the last couple of days.
From our perspective, there's something about him that is different for the Bears as far as a personality. There's this brightness. He just seems so comfortable already.
Yep.
And that's easier to do before you've played a game, before you've been booed off the field at halftime at Soldier Field or whatever, which is all possible. He could have a really rough rookie year and still be a good quarterback. A lot of really good quarterbacks have rough rookie years. So, I mean, he's not yet encountered the scrutiny and the pressure that he is going to face. But there's just something so – he seems so at ease. I think that's what stood out to me Friday when he got here. And he seemed that way at the combine. That consistently seems to be who he is. Very at ease with the expectations. Very at ease with everything that comes with playing quarterback in the NFL and for the Bears.
I say this – with genuine admiration. He's comfortable in his own skin. And he's talked about waking up at 7 a.m. and looking in the mirror. And, you know, I mean, I think he, you know, did say the word affirmation at some point. I mean, this is a guy who knows who he is and isn't shy about it. You know, some of the stuff I think may turn a portion of the Bears fandom off. I mean, you know, the nail painting thing, you know, I find it charming. There are people, I think, who don't. You know, things about talking openly about fashion, talking about his girlfriend's dress and how it got made. You know, these aren't things Jay Cutler ever would have talked about. This certainly isn't anything Jim McMahon would have ever talked about. But he's well-rounded. For a guy who's been raised since he was, you know, 10 years old to be a football cyborg, he is pretty impressively well-rounded outside of football, I think. And that's really compelling now. If you're 0-3, it's a different story. You know what I mean? And, you know, if he hits a rough patch, a lot of this stuff that's quirky and cool could, I fear, be used against him.
Oh, yeah. And especially if Justin Fields is thriving in Pittsburgh, that will just make it worse for Caleb Williams here. But, you know, you mentioned Jim McMahon. I wonder if that's how far you have to go back to find a Bears quarterback coming in with this kind of uncommon personality. And not that Caleb Williams and Jim McMahon are similar personalities, but between the two, from McMahon to Caleb Williams, you have a lot of guys with either minimal or guarded personality, or in the case of Jay Cutler, they have a personality and it's bad.
It's off-putting. Yeah, right.
But you think back to, you know, Justin Fields was likable and he was a guy that we liked, but Justin, that the media liked to deal with for the most part. And Justin Fields came in very buttoned up, very guarded, very, you know, short answers from the beginning to the end, pretty much. That was how he was. And Mitch before that, you know, probably in over his head with the kind of scrutiny and pressure and spotlight that comes with being the quarterback for the Bears. It's really unique. Caleb Williams is a unique talent. I don't think the Bears have had a quarterback like this that everybody wanted and they got.
Ever.
I mean, just look back again, like we've been talking about their recent history. I mean, just the last three guys. Fields was trading up to get the fourth quarterback in that draft.
Yep.
Trubisky was trading up for a guy that everybody was kind of shaking their head about, that, you know, it was not well received here. Cutler was, well, he's available. Another team is done with him. He's available. It has not fallen this way where there is this guy that everybody wants, and you don't need anything to happen for you to make it happen. You have the pick. You don't. You have the first pick. You don't. You're not reliant on, oh, hopefully somebody doesn't take this guy before I do. It all has come together. He is that type of talent that I think is exceptional among prospects.
Yeah.
We don't know what he's going to be as a pro.
No.
But among the prospects the Bears have got drafted over the years, this is an exception. And I think as a personality, it's also an exception.
I wouldn't undersell the excitement about Jay Cutler. Remember, the whole reason he was traded from the Broncos was because Josh McDaniels came in and wanted to bring his own guy with him from New England, Josh McDaniels. Even then, on shaky ground as a decision maker. So I think Bears fans had every reason to think that they had stumbled into a top five prospect in Jay, even though he'd only been a quarterback for a year in the pros. But you're right. This is the first time in their history that they were the first at the table and got to decide their own fate and not let a Terry Bradshaw coin flip, you know, affect it. Not let what other teams did in front of them or behind them to mess with them. That's a really unique spot. And you wrote about this in the Saturday Sun-Times. If the weight is there, Caleb sure doesn't seem to be feeling it right now. I mean, you know, what was the question that ended with him being like, well, why would you ever want to duck that?
Yeah, the question was about why he has continued to escalate expectations. Mm-hmm. And he's been doing this, Pat, since well before yesterday, before Friday. Why are you choosing to escalate these things rather than temper them or duck them?
Yeah.
Was the phrasing of Herb Howard's question to him. And he said, what's there to duck? I mean, we're here. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And he is... He just seems so ready. He seems as ready for this as any person in his position could be.
Yep.
I still say that he does not know what he's about to encounter. You can't understand the pressure and the spotlight and the scrutiny of being the Chicago Bears quarterback until you do it. You know, I don't think someone can tell you, oh, here's what it'll be like, and then you know. But I will say for where he's at, he is more prepared than any. He's as prepared as you could possibly be.
I asked Roma Dunze about that confidence and more than anything, that willingness to vocalize goals in a way that makes the world hold him accountable for it. You know, I mean, we all have goals in our lives. We may write them down, maybe. None of us are going to get up in a microphone with, you know, millions of people listening.
Yeah, or put it on our home screen of our phone for everybody to see that's around us.
Yeah, and Roma Dunze said this. He said he speaks it into existence. I think that comes from a confidence in himself and the people around him to continue to have success that's very unique to him. I see myself in the same fashion. I want to go out and do legendary things. That takes legendary goals and the not shyness to go out there and say that you're going to do it. There you go. I mean, legendary goals is a really nice way to put what he is stating already without having played a snap.
I think in Caleb Williams' case, too, for a 22-year-old, he has the track record to back this up. He has as much of a track record as you can have at 22. Similar to, we were talking about this early in the week, Tiger Woods, the way that he was raised to become a professional golfer. Caleb Williams has been trained for this, a lot like Marvin Harrison Jr., who grew up in the league because his dad was a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Right.
Caleb Williams has been trained for this. He's been engineered for this by his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents, the resources his parents have put into his coaching, training, whatever, since he was 10.
Yeah. I mean, I'm writing about this for the Sunday paper, but the origin story is he goes to a football camp. He's playing defense. They go up against, you know, a kid who is now the quarterback at Louisville and just get torched. And Caleb's looking around, and the quarterback on his own team is the son of the play caller on his own team. And he goes, I don't want to feel like this after a loss ever again. What are we going to do? And he talks to his dad, and he goes, I think I want to play quarterback. And his dad said, well, if you're serious, then we're going to be serious about this. And sets about the plan with air quotes. I'm making air quotes because this is a visual medium, right? And the plan is you work out before you go to school. You work out afterwards. If you want to hang out with your friends, tough. You know, you eat the same breakfast every day for 4 years, you know, because it's got protein and it's going to help you work out. You know, in high school, you stay in an apartment near campus sometimes.
By himself.
That is not your family home.
Lived alone.
Because it's school. Because it's close. You know, there are these things that he did and that he was willing to do that other people aren't willing to do. And it is strident by pro athlete. I mean, this is the top 1% of the 1% of the 1% who make it this far. And they all have driven families. And most of them are driven themselves. This is unique even among that.
Yeah, you have a lot of guys that are just very talented athletes.
Yep.
And in high school, it kind of clicks. And they go from there, and they're still kind of being developed as they're in college by that those coaches and that strength training staff. Caleb Williams has, for 22, been at this for a long time, and he comes across that way. He comes across as, in a way of, I've been working at this for the last 12 years.
I talked to him about this on the red carpet before the draft, and he said, yeah, it's, you know, it was lonely. At times, and you know, I don't think it was pleasant, and I don't think he tries to sell it as pleasant. And in terms of just having that single-mindedness, I kind of said, does it come naturally? And this was in a press conference Friday, and he said, like, I don't think it does for anybody. You just kind of have to do it. That's not quite as charming as the stories about him painting his nails and him promising 8 championships and him having dinner with Denzel Washington, but that's the way he got here. And I think that that helps tell you the stakes that he is playing for and the work that he has put in. And yeah, it's strange. Would you ever, if one of your kids came to you and said, I want to be the best junior tennis player or gymnast or chess player or cup stacking? Is that what it is?
I mean, if you have a kid that is saying that,
would you go all? I mean, going all in is very bold move, parent wise. And
yeah. I mean, if your kid is saying that, you do. It's what you're describing is such a fascinating thing in the world, and especially in the sports world, where it's the price of excellence.
Yep.
And I mean, you see this in coaching. I think you saw this take its toll with Urban Meyer, for example, where it was just the price got too high. And you see this with Tiger Woods. You see it. Have you ever seen, this is maybe obscure, but there's this documentary about the sushi chef in Japan.
Euro dreams of sushi? Of course.
He's got the best sushi in Japan, and he's doing it out of a train station or something like that. And you watch something like that, and it's like, this is the price. This is the price of excellence.
If you want to be good.
Yeah, this is like the relentless pursuit of perfection and how much that takes out of a person. So, I mean, when you see Caleb Williams do that as a child, that's what probably, you know, I think would reassure the Bears the most.
Right.
Is that he is more serious about this than they could ever ask him to be. Now, when you look at what they've put around him, that's where this gets really interesting for this coming season, because you look at where the Bears were headed at the end of last season. And last season was bad. I mean, they were a 7-10 team that was the 9th worst team in the league according to the draft order, and were throwing away games that they should have won. But at the end of the season, they had what appeared to be a top 10 defense.
Yep.
And they have since supplemented their offense. You would have said, even if they had done nothing, even if they had just had a very conventional offseason, you would have said this team is trending toward competing for a wild card spot in 2024.
Right.
So now that they've added Keenan Allen, they draft Rome Odunze, a top 10 wide receiver. They bring in DeAndre Swift. The defense is still pretty stagnant, still about the same as what it was. You're looking at this and saying, Caleb Williams might have some margin.
Right.
As he tries to develop. I think you have to, with what's around him, expect that even with a rookie quarterback, this should be a playoff team in 2024.
Yes, agreed. I think the offense is, on paper, middle of the road. And if you look at Football Reference, middle of the road offense don't happen around here very
well. Let's talk about that for a minute, actually, if you don't mind.
Please.
When you say offense, your offensive personnel, middle of the road, it's interesting because How would you grade their skill talent, their skill players? When you talk about those three receivers, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, Cole Kmet is like, what, the fifth or seventh best tight end in the league, something like that?
Gerald Everett, you could argue, as a pass catcher, Everett's top 15.
DeAndre Swift was a Pro Bowl running back last season. Mm-hmm. So, what letter grade would you give to their skill talent?
B plus, A minus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then what grade would you give to their offensive line?
B minus, C plus?
That's how you end up middle of the road on the offense. So that's kind of the concern for me with Caleb Williams' rookie year is that, and not that this will undo them or anything, but if you're going to be realistic about what they have, tons of guys to throw to, but you're not sure about that offensive line.
Mark Trestman, in his first year, finished second in the league in scoring. Would you like to know the Bears' finishes in scoring since then?
There couldn't be one better than, like, 25th, right?
Here we go. 23, 23, 28, 29, 9, which is the first Nagy season. 29, 22, 27, 23, 18. So last year, just below league average in points, helped by a defense, I'm sure, that went crazy with takeaways in the second half of the season. But just, I mean, on paper, if they are 17th or better, makes them the third best scoring offense the Bears have had in 11 seasons. Like, that's something.
If you project out that Caleb Williams is, I don't know, if he is as good of a passer this season as Justin Fields was last season, you still think this would be a playoff team with the talent around him. But then you get into the question of what if he's better? What if he is good quickly? What if he's like C.J. Stroud?
Right.
Immediately viable, not only viable, but immediately someone who wins games for you.
Right.
And maybe not immediately.
Right.
But like, let's say by the second half of the season, mm-hmm. Caleb Williams is thriving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now you're having a totally different conversation.
Yep. And, I mean, Justin Fields with this supporting cast would have been a better version of himself, too. But I don't think, by this point last year, I think we knew that the ceiling wasn't going to be there.
Right.
Kind of whoever you put around him. And, you know, Odunze contributes to that tremendously. I think what I like the most about his pick, and first of all, they think he is a wonderful player. They were thrilled that he was there. But I think the circumstance that he comes into is good for him and good for the team. It's good for him because he gets to be around Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. And I think it's good for the team, too, because it doesn't make them beholden completely to Keenan Allen in that Keenan Allen's, in the last year of his deal, he's making $23 million. The Bears' receiver room beyond him is pretty thin, or would have been pretty thin without Odunze. And now this gives them the luxury of, if Allen doesn't like it here, or if Allen gets hurt, or if Allen just doesn't work, that's okay.
You could still then pay DJ Moore, draft a receiver in the second round next year.
Yeah.
And you've got a good group.
Yeah. Then you've got a top 15 receiver in DJ Moore, and, you know, hopefully a top 30 receiver in Rome Odunze after a season. Like, that's a pretty good supporting cast. When you look at how the draft broke down, Jason, you know, we were saying for weeks the Bears just needed there to be a run on quarterbacks before they picked. There was, but it wasn't J.J. McCarthy. It was Michael Penix. But still, they needed Michael Penix to go to the Falcons at 8 to open up Odunze for them. And I think they were very, very fortunate that a very weird thing happened.
Ryan Poles described it as a 50-50 shot going in.
Right.
That about half their simulations showed that they would have Odunze available there and half showed that they wouldn't. When you talk about the Bears going for a playoff spot next year, I mean, there's a lot of teams you could talk about here, but just looking in the division,
mm-hmm.
still a long climb. I mean, Detroit was how close to the Super Bowl last year?
Yep.
Green Bay beat them both times and definitely has a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Has a quarterback that was second in the league in touchdown passes last year. And Green Bay was 9-8 last year. But Green Bay, second half of the season,
yep.
Jordan Love was very good. They were very good. They're clearly climbing. I mean, it's still hard to say right now that you could do better than third in the NFC North this year. Not to mention that Minnesota, what was Minnesota last year? Minnesota was 7-10 last year, and they draft a quarterback that a lot of people think very highly of in J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, they were 7-10 with some of the worst quarterback injury luck I've ever seen. Now, you know, the hope with J.J. McCarthy is that he is competent enough at first and then grows into a star. He's considerably younger than even Caleb Williams is, so he's got a little bit more room to grow. I don't think the ceiling, obviously, is what Caleb's is. But he's compelling, and he gives them a shot. And 3 days ago, they didn't have a shot. They had Sam Darnold. The other thing he does, I'm sure they hope, is that he keeps Justin Jefferson very interested in remaining a Viking. Because, you know, if he had spent the whole season with Sam Darnold throwing to him, Lord knows, maybe he'd be asking out sooner rather than later.
That's a good thing to walk into, too, by the way, for McCarthy.
Well, and Jordan Addison.
Addison, Jefferson, Hockenson.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good group.
Yeah, he's going to be put in a really good position here.
I think you're looking and saying there's a best-case scenario for the Bears where Caleb Williams is good.
Right
away. Not, maybe not. He doesn't even have to be C.J. Stroud good, but just good.
Right.
Good quarterback, good passer right away. And maybe you're looking at having a top-10 defense and a top-10 offense. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, mm-hmm. you know you can play with Detroit. And in theory, you would be on Green Bay's level, although game days never quite look like that.
Right.
Then I see the Bears having a chance to win the NFC North. But that sounds crazy to say ever about them until you see some actual headway being made, mm-hmm. because they haven't beaten Green Bay in 5 years or something like that. They're 0 for the last 10 against Green Bay. And Detroit was 5 games better than them in the standings last year.
I mean, keep in mind, though, that the playoffs are structured as such now where there can be 3 teams from the North in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to finish in the top half of your division to get in. But you're right. If Caleb is great, I'm not particularly worried about the rest of the division. But the odds are he's not going to be great out of the chute. That would be pretty remarkable. And the Bears are going to have to fight for 8-9, 9-8, 10-7, somewhere in there.
The thing I keep thinking about with Caleb Williams, and people keep asking about what do you think he'll be this year, mm-hmm. and they mean statistically.
Right.
And I go to more of like a coach type answer of, well, it's about wins.
Right.
Because he could be in positions where he could struggle.
Right.
And he could still win a game 20-17 or something like that because they've got weapons and they've got a good defense. And I think if he does that for a little while, that's really good. In fact, if he does that his entire rookie season, I think you'll take that. And if you end up at a record like what you're saying, Patrick, 9-8, 10-7, mm-hmm. and Caleb Williams is hit and miss in that first year, but there's enough hits and enough around him, the defense, the skill players, that they do win more than they lose, I think that's a great start.
Given what has been the most common outcome at Hallis Hall since 1988, yes, it would be.
Yeah, you just always bet against it, and you're over time usually going to be right.
Just winning games. Winning games is fantastic, and something that doesn't happen around here very often. Winning games and simultaneously watching incremental growth at quarterback and with your number one wide receiver, like, that's the dream, I think. And I think the Bears have put themselves in a pretty great position to do that. Real quick, before we get out, Bears, other pickups thus far. They got the local guy from Yale, the tackle, whose name I'm going to butcher.
I was going to say, try it, Pat. Come on. You can't just call him the local guy.
I'm going to go with the local guy from Yale.
I think it's Amagaji.
Amagaji. Kieran Amagaji, and then they took the Iowa punter in the fourth round, Torrey Taylor. He's Australian, and he's great. He's statistically the greatest punter in the history of the FBS. And then in round 5, they traded back into the draft for Kansas's Austin Booker.
Pass rusher.
Not a fan of the University of Kansas, myself. So it's hard for me to say good things.
Yeah, you're a Missouri grad.
But I got a text from a friend who knows him well and says that Bears fans are going to love him. So it's a good start.
The big picks are 1 and 9, where you take quarterback and wide receiver. If you're before the draft, you're looking at the Bears roster, you're seeing a lot of good players, mm-hmm. but you're seeing holes at all the premium positions except corner.
Mm-hmm.
Corner problem solved, really good job.
Right.
That's a great cornerback room. Especially you think back to the year before Poles came in, rather. That pretty much covers it right there, right? It was Jalen Johnson and a bunch of practice squad guys.
Who was the kid from the Steelers?
Artie Burns.
Artie Burns, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they do.
But you're looking at the other premium positions coming into the draft, and you're saying they've got an issue at quarterback, they've got an issue at wide receiver, pass rusher.
Half of an issue at left tackle, probably.
And left tackle.
Right.
Yes. And you could probably put sixth on that list, or right after that, you could put defensive tackle. Too many big premium needs.
Right.
And too few premium assets in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't solve it all.
Right.
You take care of the most important one at quarterback, and you take care of something very high on the list at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Now what do you do with these other spots? And I've already forgotten the guy's name from Kansas, but he's not your answer.
Austin Booker.
Austin Booker is not your answer at pass rusher.
You probably go look for a free agent, somebody who wants to come play on a team that's got a legitimate chance to win, which is something we couldn't have said in each of the previous two seasons. You sell them on the opportunity to start, and you sell them on the opportunity to play opposite Montez Sweat. Now, at best, you're going to get a situational guy here. You're not going to get a keeper.
You're going to get a guy like Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, right. And at tackle, I'm a little more comfortable with what they have at tackle. I think Dexter...
a defensive tackle.
Yeah, defensive tackle. Dexter really came along. In terms of offensive tackle, there are no starters sitting around. I mean, I think, you know, you kind of go with what you've got. You know, curious, look around the league here in the next week or two. You know, there's always a surprise trade. There's always a team that decides to move on from an expensive veteran. You know, I think back to when the Bears drafted Tevin Jenkins in the second round. And by, you know, 36 hours later, Charles Leno was out on his butt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to happen around the league in a couple of different positions.
He got picked up by Washington and was very good for them.
And has had a wonderful, very prolific, very high-earning NFL career. Yeah, I mean, and maybe the Bears get lucky and something like that happens at, you know, either offensive or defensive line, and they can pounce on a free agent as a result.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things as we go over this, and you talk about them going from 3-14 2 years ago and 7-10 last year, mm-hmm. to the playoffs, where there are some sure things, but there are some things that are hope.
Yep.
They hope Caleb Williams, mm-hmm. will be at this level of good as a rookie. They hope they will be able to find answers on the defensive line with signing someone who's just sitting around out there, right. and developing Jervon Dexter.
Mm-hmm. They hope Braxton Jones keeps getting better to take him, yes. from a kind of a question mark to more of a sure thing.
That's your parlay that you're betting on, right. right there if you're the Bears, is you're betting on Braxton Jones, Dexter, free agent, pass rusher, TBD,
right.
and Caleb Williams. If you hit on all of those... Yeah. Then you win. Then you're in the playoffs.
What you're really betting on is the quarterback to be good enough that you can live with everything else.
There you go.
And that's what they've done. Really interesting week so far, Jason. Lord knows we'll have plenty to say about Caleb Williams and everybody else going forward. Until then, you can follow us on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website and in print. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.